Chrysler Motors on the air.
Girl is like a melody, one of the loveliest and surely the most appropriate of all the Ziegfeld songs for creating that unmistakable Ziegfeld atmosphere. For you know a radio show must make a metal picture. And to the strains of the Irving Berlin tune, we bring you the second of the Ziegfeld radio shows with Mr. Ziegfeld in person and a galaxy of Ziegfeld stars chosen from a list that includes almost every great name of the stage and the screen. These programs come to you with the compliments of Chrysler Motors, manufacturers of Plymouth, DeSoto, Dodge, and Chrysler cars. In presenting these Ziegfeld radio shows, Chrysler Motors is confident that it has assembled radio's greatest gathering of stars. Just as in the Plymouth car, Chrysler Motors has combined outstanding features to make the Plymouth the greatest dollar value in the lowest price field. And now, here is our genial master of ceremonies, Mr. Eddie Dowling.
And now let's get on with the show. We're glad to be back with you again, and what a cast. Now, Al Goodman, let's have that overture. Take you back, I hope so, for opening our show tonight with a few selections from the first Ziegfeld Follies, produced on the roof of the New York Theater, July 15th, 1907. In imagination, let us look at that audience of a quarter of a century ago. There's Alan Dale, the most feared critic of his time, John Drew, that elegant gentleman, Raymond Hitchcock in evening clothes and a red vest, and green like a boy is that irrepressible one, the matchless Caruso. And now, with emeralds as big as hen's eggs glowing in his shirt front, is Diamond Jim Brady, the most famous first nighter of them all. And here's Lillian Russell, whose pink and white beauty was admired by all America. She's just arrived in her coupe. Not a Plymouth coupe, but a shining carriage drawn by a span of sleek black horses in jingling harness. They're all here tonight to see the first Ziegfeld Follies. The curtain is going up. Listen to those gorgeous girls singing that opening chorus.
Here we are,
and there's Charlie Ross, and oh boy, what a comedian he was. This song should bring back fragrant memories to a lot of you. Listen!
Bob Budweiser is a friend of mine. Friend of mine, yes, a friend of mine. What can I if the sun don't shine? But I've got Budweiser. That's the reason I feel so fine. I feel fine, you can bet I feel fine. So Bill the Kaiser's a friend of Budweiser. Budweiser's a friend of mine. Oh, Bob
Budweiser's a friend of mine. And friend of mine is a friend of mine. What can I if the
ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the young man who produced that great show 25 years ago and who has since become a greater name than any of his dozens of shows, Mr. Florence Ziegfeld.
I'll never forget that night, Eddie, but there are a couple of things you haven't told. On the sidewalk in front of the theater, a young fellow was selling tickets. Later, he became our greatest producer of dramatic extravaganzas, Morris Guest. And across the street at Hammerstein's Victoria Theater, a boy was playing in a vaudeville act called A Night in an English Music Hall. Now he is the most popular comedian the world has ever known, Charlie Chaplin.
That's right, Flo. You never know what great talent will turn up.
You never know. For example, where did you find Kate Smith?
Oh, that's funny. At a benefit performance in Washington, just as the moon came over the mountain.
Remember the night, Addie? I dragged you through the rain up to a smoky little cafe in the 50s to listen to a girl sing?
Remember it? I'll never forget it. You recall, Flo, when we stepped in the door, it was a great male quartet singing.
I know that you know that I'll go where you'll go. I choose you, won't lose you. I wish you knew how much I long to hold you in my arms. This time is my time, will soon be goodbye time. And in the starlight, hold me tight with one more little kiss, say nighty-night.
Up here in the rain to listen to four men.
No, I brought you up here to hear a girl. And there she is.
Well, she's sitting on the piano. Say, that's a cute idea. And oh, isn't she beautiful? What's her name, Flo?
Her name is Helen Morgan. Listen to her.
Life was never so blue till I saw love passing on. Now everything's futile. You came with love, you're gone. Winter skies are more cold now, and I'm part of their grave. The romance is old now, you grow dearer each day. Love that used to be sings a minor melody. What a life trying to live without you. All the funny little things we used to say and do, they're not meant for one. They were made for two. Just the same, the world goes on. I must live, so you're gone. What a life trying to live without you. Thank you.
get her, Eddie. But don't tell her it's Ziegfeld, or she'll want a lot of money.
All right, boss. I'll do the best I can. Excuse me, Miss Morgan. My name is Eddie Dowling.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Dowling?
There's a gentleman sitting at the table with me who'd like to talk to you about going into a new show.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh, that doesn't matter so much. You wouldn't know him.
All right. I'd be glad to talk to him.
We're sitting right over here across. I loved your voice. Well, boss, here's Miss Morgan. I told her you wanted her for a show.
Good evening, Mr. Ziegfeld.
How'd you know who I was?
Why, I worked for you a long time ago in the chorus of Sally.
Why didn't you sing for me then?
Oh, Mr. Ziegfeld, I was too afraid.
Well, anyhow, I want you for my new show, Showboat.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ziegfeld. That will be a great honor.
And now let's turn the leaves in the Ziegfeld scrapbook of memories to the follies of 1909, and to a young couple who to this day, 23 years later, are still considered the greatest singers of romantic songs our stage has known, Nora Bayes and her husband Jack Knowles. Let us pretend we are listening to them again in one of their many successes, when it's apple blossom time in Normandy.
On a farm in Normandy, there resided Rosemary. She was the pride of the countryside. Came a lover bold one day with a most persuasive way. Oh, she was grieving when he was leaving. He consoled her in this way. Blossom time in Normandy, I want to be in Normandy, by that dear old wishing well with you, Marie. When it's apple blossom time in Normandy, I'm coming back.
Exciting first night. Let's step in for a moment in the Ziegfeld Theater on the first night of the Follies of 1931 and listen to one of the funniest comedians who ever appeared under the auspices of Ziegfeld. Little Jack Pearl himself in person.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Cliff.
What's the matter? You look troubled.
Well, I got my trouble.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, for the last half hour, I've been trying to get a telephone number.
Oh, did you call Central?
Did I call Central? Every name I could think of.
And whom did you want to talk to?
I should speak with my brother.
Oh, your brother?
My brother, yeah.
What did you want with him?
I want you to come out in my car.
Oh, you have a car?
I got a lovely car.
What's the name of it?
Blimowert.
A what?
Blimowert.
I'm sorry, Jack. I don't understand you.
Oh, well, look, I don't know how to say that. I'm not here in this country long. Suppose, you remember the foreigners when they come over?
The foreigners?
From the other side, they come over on a rock.
They came over on a what?
On a rock.
You mean they landed on a Plymouth Rock?
You...
I remember. You mean to have a Plymouth car?
You took the word out of my mouth.
And a very fine car it is, too,
Jack. Yeah, that's a lovely car.
How's it running?
Well, it's lovely running.
It is.
Only I just had an accident.
You had an accident?
An accident.
What happened?
A puncture.
A what?
A puncture. Puncture in my tire.
You got a puncture in your tire?
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen?
I ran over a bottle.
Well, that was carelessness on your part. While driving, didn't you see the bottle?
No. It was in the man's pocket.
Oh, by the way, Jack, you were talking about your brother. I didn't know you had a brother.
Sure.
What's his name?
I know him so well, I forgot him.
No. You can't think of your brother's name.
Yeah,
Would you know him if you saw him?
Oh, sure.
Well, that's something, anyway.
Sure, I know.
Would he know you?
Sure, he should.
He should.
This is his suit I'm wearing.
Oh. Well, just a minute, Jack. Perhaps I can help you. What letter of the alphabet does your brother's name begin with?
It starts with a Z.
A Z?
Z.
Well, there aren't many names beginning with Z.
No, he only needs one.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Well, let's see now. Zebra?
No.
Zodiac?
No.
Zabisco?
No, please. This is a man, not a cracker.
Oh,
no, not Z like you said.
Oh, no?
No, I mean A, B, Z.
Oh, C.
Z.
C. Well, it's Charles.
No, I got it.
You got it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Joseph.
Why, that's silly, Jack. Joseph doesn't begin with C.
No.
Haven't you ever gone to school?
Oh, sure, I was in school. Only I had to leave school early on account of pneumonia.
Oh, that's too bad. How long were you in bed with it?
In bed with what?
Pneumonia.
I wasn't in bed with it.
You just said you had to leave school early on account of pneumonia.
Yeah, I couldn't spell it.
The trouble with you, Jack, is you're dizzy. That's what.
Oh, I'm dizzy?
Yes, you're dizzy.
Oh, I want to ask you something. Why is it I'm always dizzy when I look out of a high window?
Well, Jack, that's very easily explained. You see, the brain, that is the cerebellum, is composed of several different compartments.
Is that so?
Yes. Now, one of these compartments controls the equilibrium.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Now, you see, unless this is highly sensitive, the equilibrium is nil.
Oh, please.
Or in other words, you are suffering with an altitude complex. I hope I've made myself clear.
Yeah, but why is it I'm always dizzy when I look out of the
house? Oh, my. All right, I take back what I said about being dizzy. You're just dumb.
Who's dumb?
You're dumb.
Now listen, Mr. Smart Alex, I tell you something.
Now just
please,
a minute.
Please, now wait.
Now don't get excited, you'll get high blood pressure.
No, not me, I'm anemic.
Oh, listen,
I tell you what I do with you. Listen, I never was in school so long I left, you hear? No, I tell a big bluff when I say that before. I will bet you $5, you hear?
Yes, I
am. I will bet you $5 with all your smartness, I could answer my question where you could not answer yours. Now what do you think of that?
Just let me understand you. You want to wager me $5 that you can answer your question where I can't answer mine.
Exactly my word.
All right, the bet is on.
All right, have you got $5 with you?
I think so.
Well, if you win, you'll trust me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see how I will put it. Did you ever was in the woods?
Did I what?
Don't you hear good?
Well, yes, I hear you, but I don't understand you.
Did you ever was in the woods?
Oh, in the woods?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, many times.
Oh, you was?
Yeah.
When you was in the woods, did you ever see horse?
Did I ever see what?
Why did I ever meet you? Did you ever see holes?
Oh, holes.
Holes.
Oh, well, what kind of holes?
Well, I would say rabbit holes.
What kind of holes?
Rabbit holes.
Rabbit holes? Yes, I've seen rabbit holes.
Also, you have. Do you know? Do you understand what I'm
saying? Yes, I understand.
Do you know how the rabbit makes that hole without leaving any dirt around it?
Do I know how the rabbit makes the hole without leaving any dirt around it?
Exactly.
Well, now, that's a very difficult question, and I must admit I can't answer it. Can you?
That is my question, and I must answer that. They start from the bottom, and they dig up. And I never was in school so long I left.
Ah, but I have you now.
What?
How does the rabbit get to the bottom in order to dig to the top?
That's your question. You answer that.
Oh, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my impression of the late Zambernard singing Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, oh, many years ago, lived the wife of happy Rip Van Winkle. Thank you. One day, she drove poor Rip away as the little stars began to twinkle. All that he had under his hat. And she was glad to see him go. So, over the hills he went, left them without a cent. One thing I'm anxious to know. Who paid the rent for Mrs. Rip Van Winkle? When Rip Van Winkle went away, and while he slept for 20 years, who was it? Kissed away those tears. She had no friends in the place, had no one to embrace. But the landlord always left her with a smile on her face. Who paid the rent for Mrs. Rip Van Winkle? When Rip Van Winkle went away, sufficient.
A word more about that black-haired girl whom Mr. Ziegfeld engaged that rainy evening in the little nightclub, Miss Helen Morgan. You know, of course, how Miss Morgan, in the midst of an uproariously funny show, can make them cry with one of her tender songs. That's what she did to me in Sweet Adeline. And I can see her now in that scene in the play when she unselfishly stepped aside to let her little sister marry the man Helen loved.
And in these lonely evenings, with nothing to do but to live in dreams that I make up all by myself, dreaming that you're beside me, I picture the prettiest story, only to wake up all by myself. What is the good of me by myself? Why was I born? Why am I living? What do I get? What am I giving? Why do I want a thing I don't want? What can I hope for? I wish I knew. Why do I try to draw you near me? Why do I cry? You never hear me. I'm a poor fool, but what can
we bring to you in person one of Mr. Ziegfeld's greatest comedians, the man with the rubber legs, Mr. Leon Errol. Mr. Errol will reenact first a scene from Ziegfeld's Sally, a scene in a Greenwich Village restaurant in which Mr. Errol plays a grand duke, who through a circumstance of fate is now a waiter in a little cafe. The dishwasher is a beautiful golden-haired girl, Sally, an orphan. Sally with the title. To the cafe frequently has come the son of a millionaire who has fallen in love with little Sally, but because of parental objection, Sally now feels that all hope of happiness is gone, and we find Sally crying over her dishes. The Grand Duke waiter philosophically tries to console her aching heart.
Well, why are you crying, Sally?
Because I've lost everything in the world there was to live for.
Don't be silly, child. If the boy really loves you, nothing will keep you apart. I'm the one to be pitied, not you. Think, a few months ago I was the Grand Duke of a great monarchy, and now I am a waiter where they don't allow tips. But am I unhappy? No. Because the sun still shines on me as a waiter, like it did when I was the Grand Duke. The birds sing as sweetly, and I know someday that I'm going back to my dear Czechoslovakia. And oh, Sally, what a place that was.
The banks of Mishnita, Kamiski, they're all just as wild as can be. Any time, without reason or rhyme, you will find it far wider to be. In the night, they will rouse you and chase you and prod you with bayonets like me. If you meet with defeat, they'll cut off your retreat where Bishnica flows down to the sea. I'm a duke from a wonderful clime, and I've had a remarkable time. My people are splendid, somewhat unique. They like revolutions at least once a week. Sunday you may be the king, Monday you don't mean a thing. On the banks of the Schnitzel, Kamiski, we don't have to brew on the sly, making hooch out of bits of potatoes and hair oil and wood pulp and dye. When we dine, why, we just swim in wine. So come on, girls, gather with me, and I treat everyone to a beautiful bun where the ships are close down to the sea.
Now, dear, if you're a good girl and don't cry, I'll take you back with me and make you a princess.
dreadful, Connie. Don't you think I'll ever see him again?
During this little scene, Sally's lover has returned. The Grand Duke turns and, seeing him, tells Sally to close her eyes, that he has a surprise for her.
See, Sally? I told you. Every cloud has a silver lining, even in the hash house. Here is your boyfriend, and my invitation to Checker Gavinia goes double. You can both come.
I thought your father told you never to see me again.
My dad didn't ask me if he could see my mother when he was courting her. Sally, I love you, and I want to marry you.
But your father, he'll cut you off.
Well, suppose he does. Who cares?
Look for the silver lining when a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is shining and so the right thing to do is make it shine for you. A heart full of joy and
thank you, Eddie, darling, for giving me a moment or two on this thrilling program just to make a remark. We of Chrysler Motors, ladies and gentlemen, are deeply grateful to you for your letters and telegrams of comment on the first Ziegfeld radio show last Sunday evening. Mr. Ziegfeld said you remember, but how do I know they're listening? Well, we know now, and thanks a lot. More than that, thousands of you accepted the invitation of Mr. Chrysler to visit a DeSoto, Dodge, or Chrysler dealer and look at this new, finer Plymouth. The first 4 days after the new Plymouth came out, and this is just between us, I got a wire from the factory in Detroit this morning, the first 4 days, the factory received 23,119 orders for Plymouth automobiles. Perhaps our radio show had something to do with it. We in the studio like to think so anyhow. 23,000 Plymouths ordered in 4 days last week, and no wonder, what's an automobile? In the first place, it's the longest and biggest car in the lowest price bracket. Then just check over these reasons for Plymouth superiority. That amazing new development, floating power, that means a ride without vibration. All steel body, hydraulic brakes, low center of gravity made possible by a sturdy double drop X frame. And in addition to all these performance and safety features, Chrysler Motors now offers you the protection of DuPlate safety plate glass at the lowest price at which this glass was ever quoted as optional equipment. It costs less than $10 for all-around equipment in the coupe and less than $18 in the four-door sedan. DuPlate safety plate glass absolutely eliminates the danger of glass splitters, the cause of 45% of the injuries in motor car accidents. It gives you the satisfaction and the peace of mind of knowing that you have taken every precaution to ensure the safety of your loved ones and yourselves. You can have DuPlate safety plate glass in the Plymouth, the DeSoto, the Dodge, and the Chrysler. Particularly, see this new, finer Plymouth and compare it with the other two cars in its price class. 23,000 careful purchasers did that very thing in 4 days. Follow their example. You know you can look without buying, so don't buy without looking. Now I'll turn the microphone back to Eddie Dowling. Thanks again.
Thanks, Al Weeks. And Mr. Ziegfeld just wants me to tell the radio audience that next Sunday night he'll talk about some of his famous beauties and some of the greatest stars that ever appeared under his banner. And until then, good night and good luck follow you through the week.
Why Was I Born from Sweet Adeline was sung by special permission of the copyright owners. And the theme, A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody, was played by special permission of Irving Berlin. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.